You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
It's Thursday and time for another In the Kitchen on KVON.
With Barry Martin and award-winning food critic and creator Jamie Brown Miller in studio.
Follow her on Facebook and engage in this week's food and drink questions of the week.
And away we go. Good morning.
Hi, Barry. How's it going?
Not too bad. Yourself?
I'm good.
Good. We have not only the weekly topic this week, but we also have listener question.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm always ready. Of course you're love ready. It. Yeah. Like, I'm sure I'll annoy someone or upset someone or make them mad.
That's part of the show.
It's my raison d'etre.
You just made me mad with your French accent. So you one for one.
I cannot do accents. We have established this.
That was better than most from you.
Yeah.
Shall we begin with a listener question?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Can you remind me what it was?
I don't know. You're the one who emailed it to me. I think there were two questions. Well, I think one of them involved lobster, and I can't remember what the other one was.
I'll find it here real quickly.
Yeah.
But yes, one of them did involve the how to cook a lobster, yeah. Essentially, wasn't it?
But it wasn't just that kind of question, and I guess I'll look in my email since you can't find it.
Here it is.
Oh, you got it. Okay. So tell me what the question was.
This is from listener Mark, who emailed, I have a question for the food and wine critic segment of your show, which is, I'm not sure when you've done wine critic.
No, I mean, you're if it has booze critic. In it, drink it. There That's my Maybe critique that of wine.
Question number one, when you cook lobster out of the shell, do you cook it at a low boil in salt water or plain water?
Okay, first of all, back it up. Don't boil your lobster. Do not boil anything except for pasta or maybe like hot dogs. There's boiling. I mean, okay, so think about it. Think about also chicken, right? That's something that's kind of bland, that doesn't really have a whole heck of a lot of its own flavor that you put a lot of stuff on or do stuff to in order to give it flavor, right? So it doesn't really inherently have a lot of its own oomph when it comes to flavor. So think about if you dropped a piece of boneless, skinless chicken breast in a pot of boiling water, what's that going to do to the flavor? What do you think? You think it might dry it out, make it crappy, make it even more bland?
I didn't get a chance to answer.
It was rhetorical, Barry. Come on. But really, think about it that way. Anything that you're going to drop into some water, it's going to leach out any kind of flavoring. It's not good.
Well, in fact, you end up with a broth.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
If from whatever meat you put into boiling water or hot water, you'll get some kind of brothiness, which means, I'm trying to amplify your point, you're extracting out of the meat into the water, aren't you?
It's not so much the meat that you're extracting when you make a broth. It's the bone or the shells.
Oh, okay.
So you got to have all the parts there.
Qualities of the protein.
Exactly.
End up in the water as part of process. So there's less of it in the protein.
Yes.
Than before.
Yes.
We're on the same page.
That in a nutshell. Yes.
So you're saying don't boil lobster.
God, no.
Does that include when it's in the shell as well as out of the shell?
Yes. Don't boil your lobster. Okay.
So what do you do instead?
Well,
toaster oven?
Air fryer? No, you can steam your lobster in the shell, because you're taking all those flavors of the properties of the shell that are, you know, hanging out there with the meat. But if it's out of the shell, as the reader or the sender of the question asked, you would gently poach it, and preferably in butter. I mean, you could poach it and so poaching is letting it sit in a almost simmering water bath where it's not going to kind of toss it around and leach out all the flavors. I don't prefer that. I wouldn't poach it in water. I mean, if you have to, but let's also say if you're eating lobster, you're not watching your diet. You're not looking for something healthy. So I would gently butter poach it. That's how I prepare my halibut as well. And so you poach it in butter and then you stick it under the broiler for just a few minutes and there you go. Mm. If you want to get crazy, poach it in garlic butter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, when you say poaching, how much water or liquid for a poach? You know, you don't want to cover You do want to cover the meat.
Think of it as a poached egg, right? So you gently, you could crack an egg into like a ramekin and you hold it really, really like almost on top of the water and you gently slide it in so it doesn't break up. And that egg now goes deep into the water, right? And so it's cooking that way and it's got its little membrane of egginess around it. And so it's in the liquid that's poaching, but like super like mellow liquid. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing with this boiling of lobster, like, I know that there's some businesses around here who do, like, a lobster boil, and that's fun and festive when everybody, you know, you take the big vat of crap and you pour it out onto the table, and everyone's like, ooh, there's lobster all over the table on some butcher paper with those little niblets of corn and other weird things that I'm not going to eat but look really cool. Like, that's fun for you. Would I ever do that myself? No. I've been to three or four of those and I'm like, the lobster has been boiled and there's no flavor, and now I have to like ask for a giant vat of butter in which to dip it in. Mm-hmm. But it's still not right because it's rubbery. Like, no, why? I don't understand.
It's people. I like the corn in the lobster boil.
Well, because it's been prepared properly. You boil corn. Fine.
You
acted
like you were just going to toss it aside.
Well, I'm not going to eat it because, like, why?
So to follow up on behalf of my client Mark, if you're poaching it gently in water, lobster, would it be salted water or plain water?
I wouldn't salt it. I generally don't salt anything but pasta water until like right at service, because when you cook with salt, you can oversalt some things, right? Because as you cook things, things get concentrated and now it becomes too salty and you can't do anything about it. You can always add salt. You can't take salt away. And then sometimes that salt, if in boiling water and protein, can leach some of the moisture from that protein as well. So I always like to use a finishing salt, especially if you're going to do the butter poaching and then the little bit of broil, sprinkle with a little like Maldon smoked sea salt, mm-hmm. those big chunky flakes.
Okay.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. All right. That sounds good. Why do you salt pasta water then?
Well, the theory is that it opens up the pasta to accept the sauce better when you're saucing it. Also, another theory is that it helps bring the water into the actual noodle itself and plump it up and make it more tender as well. Don't put oil in your pasta water. You just have oily water. Have you noticed that the oil doesn't actually blend in with the water? Because oil and water don't mix. You don't have an emulsifier in your pasta water, mm-hmm. right? You haven't put an egg in there. And plus, you wouldn't want to do that with boiling water anyway, because ew. Don't put oil in your pasta water.
I always thought people did that to, so it doesn't, like spaghetti doesn't stick together.
You do that after you've poured it into the colander to drain. And then you mix in a little bit of water.
Yeah. And I always found while your spaghetti is boiling, if you just stir it a couple times, it's not going to stick together anyway.
Exactly. You need to have a large enough vessel for boiling. So that way your pasta has enough room to move around. Mm-hmm. 'Cause if it's not moving around, it's going to stick, mm-hmm. you know.
You can just let him go. He can't do any harm.
We've got Buckley in the studio
Buckley's
today.
Buckley's hanging out as a silent partner on the show.
Yeah, we've got the 95-pound fluffy and fat Akita just kind of sniffing everything.
Is there something to eat in here anywhere?
You.
So, Mark, I hope that answers your question number one regarding cooking lobster out of the shell. Question two. Mm-hmm. Some Asian soups have what looks like a chicken broth mm-hmm. that is so clear that you can see right through it. Mm-hmm. How do they make it?
It's called dashi. D-A-S-H-I. And I've made it a number of times and it's really, really easy, but it takes forever. And it includes some ingredients that are sometimes difficult to find, but now Whole Foods has them. And those would be bonito flakes and kombu. So kombu is a super like sturdy seaweed that you throw in there, like a couple sheets of that. Not like the nori that you have on the outside of your sushi, but this is like kombu, like kind of planks of it. And then bonito flakes is it's mackerel that's been dried and then pressed into bricks and then shaved into these very airy little flakes. And sometimes if you've been to a high-end Japanese restaurant where they top your dish with some bonito flakes and it looks like they're waving in the wind just from the air currents. They're so delicate. Mm. And so you can get that at Whole Foods, no problem. And then, you do it with water and kombu and seaweed and any any number of other things that you want to do, but those are the base ingredients for that. And then you have to strain the hell out of it over and over and over again to get that clarity of the broth. But it is so umami that that's why it's used as the base for so many Asian dishes, specifically Japanese, because it lends that element that's so famous in that cuisine. Mm-hmm.
As you were describing that, what did you call the mackerel cake thing?
Bonito.
Bonito.
Bonito. B-O-N-I-T-O.
I was just imagining, you know, in a physical place where mm-hmm. the available food is limited, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
Thinking of like Japan,
yeah.
where they rely on an enormous amount of seafood.
Yes.
For obvious reasons. Think of that process of what do we have? What can we make for dinner? Well, we got fish.
Right. Anything else preserved.
Anything else? We've had fish every day for the last 14 years. Is there we got fish and we got some other fish. Oh.
We got some seaweed for the fish we're swimming around with.
We took the seaweed and we smashed it and what if we compressed it, dried it into a cake and made it like,
you know. Yeah, right?
And that's true in every culture, right? Where you travel around, you find, where someplace it's corn is like the dominant thing mm-hmm. that's available mm-hmm. at some point in history. And so that culture learns how to make corn 42 different ways.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the evolution of cuisine and even just regional cuisines within, you know, a country or a continent mm-hmm. is fascinating.
Yeah, totally fascinating. All right. That's question one and two for Mark, our loyal listener to the Wine Country Live in the Kitchen show.
Yay. Thanks for asking. And, fun.
We appreciate your input. You can always email. I don't mention my email address very often. Barry@winedownmedia.com. And I'll be happy to, play interviewer, play host.
Sure. Well, you're doing it already, so you might as well just expand on it, I guess.
So what was the topic this week? Another interesting one?
Yeah, you know, we didn't get a whole heck of a lot of response because I think that maybe I posed it a little too vaguely. So there's a story about a theme restaurant coming out in Houston.
That's right.
And I guess there's already one in New Orleans and they're going to do it somewhere else as well. But it's called
Vegas, I think.
Of course, Vegas. And we'll talk about Vegas probably next hour. But a place called Fat Boots Trailer Park Bar will open next week in Houston. And it looks awesome. I think it looks fun. Like, mm-hmm. I don't do theme restaurants because,
there's a difference to me between a theme restaurant and a theme bar.
Mm.
Big difference to me.
Okay, how so?
I don't know. Just like, because I think of medieval times, I guess, right away. I don't want to be a punchline to somebody's joke.
Yeah, I've never been to one of those. Have you?
Nope.
Yeah.
Not my jam.
No, and there's theme bars like Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. I went to one of those once. And I was like, oh my God, seriously? Mm-hmm. It felt like a Trader Joe's in there with all the Hawaiian shirts.
I think I ate at a Jimmy Buffett burger joint or something. Does he have one of those in Hawaii?
I don't know. Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Must have been.
Yes.
One of the worst mistakes I ever made.
Yes. No, it's like Chuck E. Cheese for adults.
Dreadful.
No. And Chuck E. Cheese is a theme restaurant,
yeah,
right?
There you go.
With crappy pizza and animatronics that are super, super creepy. Anyway, Fat Boots Trailer Park Bar is meant to be offensive. It's going to make fun of trailer parks and the people who live in them. And the cocktails will be served in SpaghettiOs cans and Spam cans with names like Porch Possum and... Panther Piss. The servers will be called Fat Boots Flamingos, and it looks like they're all wearing the Daisy Dukes and the plaid shirts that are tied up showing the midriff and mm-hmm. things like that. It's the same thing as like the Coyote Ugly, right? I mean, we went to that bar when we were in Vegas last time.
Same people.
Yeah, is it the same people?
Ownership.
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. You know what, though? The concept sounds fun, but if you've ever been in one of those, it's kind of sad. It's like, really? This is all you got? Like, come on. And then mm-hmm. you've got the patrons who are like, I need to buy a t-shirt from this place. You know,
I thought of another one like that I've actually been to. Cabo Wabo.
Oh, my God. Yes. In Reno. Sammy Hagar's Cabo Wabo.
I think I went to the one in Cabo.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. It's like, oh, this looks corny. Let's go in and check it out.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just a spot for them to sell his tequila, mm-hmm. his Cabo Wabo tequila. That's
you
it.
Know, and they had like the dentist, old dentist chair where you lean back and they pour the booze in your mouth. And
they stole that from Tijuana.
People take your picture. Ho hum. This gets in the way of serious drinking.
Agreed. It's just silly. And there's way too much Van Halen of, you know, Hagar era played on the sound system there. It's like, no, I like my Van Halen to have the David Lee Roth flavoring. also, let's see, what else do we have for our theme restaurants? Bubba Gump.
True. Ugh,
God, every like Midwesterner that goes to Times Square
yep.
goes to that. The only cool one, I think, Hard Rock Cafe. Where they've got all the really cool music memorabilia, but way too much merchandise, way too many sweatshirts seen on the streets of San Francisco on the tourists who didn't understand that it gets cold in San Francisco.
I never even thought about Hard Rock Cafe and Planet Hollywood. Those were both.
Oh my gosh, Planet Hollywood.
Too, right?
Oh, that thing failed spectacularly. I mean, it should have been really cool, but the food was terrible and it was just kind of weak and lame. Mm. What else we got? Oh, the Heart Attack Grill in Las Vegas, where they make you wear a the little hospital onesie, hospital gown, and they tell you, like, they make you sign a waiver or something like that. And their slogan is like fighting anorexia since 2006. But the owner died of like complications from pneumonia, and he was like 300 and something pounds.
Uh-huh, what a shocker.
So, I mean, caveat emptor. Mm. the Rainforest Cafe, that used to be a thing. Ice bars. They've got one in Vegas at Mandalay Bay, but I've been to the one in Stockholm and it was lame. It was so dumb because you go in there and you have to wear a fleece lined poncho that 11 million other people have worn before you. So it's rife with epithelial cells. Ugh. And then they make you file through and you've got like an ice throne and an ice this and an ice bed and everybody's taking pictures and they're like, time for shots, everyone. You're like, yeah, shots. And it's this little like Kool-Aid looking flavored thing with like maybe, you know, a half an inch of vodka in it. And you're like, really? That's it? You're in and out in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the point? So, yeah, no thanks.
I'm just turned off on tourism now. Everything you mentioned made me want to stay home.
Oh, well, I'm going to Vegas next week. So, I've got, let's see. Do you want to talk about that now or later?
Later.
Yeah. Okay. So what else do we have for theme? Trader Vic's. That looks actually pretty cool. That seems like that was one of the original tiki theme bars. And we're getting that Wilfred's Lounge here soon.
I was going to say, in talking about theme stuff, for the most part, I would say no.
Right.
Tiki bars are a different category.
Agreed.
I've never had a bad time at a tiki bar.
Well, the thing with the tiki bar, so I was talking to my dad about this last night, you know, Mark Brown.
Well, the thing with tiki bars is you got to do it this way.
Well, so we were kind of arguing over a theme restaurant or type of bar because his answer was, you know, a good old, you know, British pub. And I'm like, that's not a theme bar. That's a type of bar. Like his favorite is the Pelican Inn over on, you know, on the coast somewhere, I don't know, near the beach, Stinson. But, you know, a tiki bar is a type of bar, unless there's maybe a chain of them, and then it gets silly. But yeah, no, I think that there's a big difference.
I tend to agree. You know, if you called it the Gilligan's Island Tiki Bar.
And had merchandise, right? And it was a chain, and it was a thing like that. Right. And then the food would be automatically terrible, because it's a chain.
Like other types would be maybe the peanut shells on the floor. Style bar. Ever been to one
of those? Isn't that generally like a country bar that has the mechanical bull?
Sometimes. I went to one, it was a favorite when I lived in Minneapolis. I remember it now. It was called Williams Pub, as I recall. And their specialty was chili, and it was awfully darn good. But they also had the bowls of whole peanuts in the shell, and the floor was a little like crunch, crunch, crunch everywhere you walked.
I don't like that. It's messy.
Probably a health department violation and also a slip and fall danger.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, why don't you just put the requisite sawdust down if you have messy customers?
Which is another kind of a stylistic choice.
The last time I was in a place that there was sawdust on the floor was the old 2030 Club Halloween party back when I was
soaking up the blood and the vomit.
Dude, those things were a hazard. Yeah.
Taylor, who I wish were here enjoying this with
us, Taylor,
texted over that Planet Hollywood had the best Captain Crunch chicken tenders.
No.
I think that sounds like an air fryer recipe that needs to be tried.
You go ahead. No,
she
why?
She also sent us a picture of an abandoned Chuck E. Cheese animatronic creation sitting out in the junkyard. It's rather frightening looking.
Oh my God. Well, I'm looking at it now. That is creepy and gross. Thank you, Taylor. Remember when Napa had a Chuck E. Cheese?
No, did we?
Oh yeah. We had one where Quiznos used to be. Papa Murphy's.
Okay.
Like that whole building was a Chuck E. Cheese back in the day.
Wow.
And you would spend like $30 playing skee ball for those tickets and then redeem them for like a pencil.
A fly swatter.
Yeah.
Look, Mom. All right. Time for a break. When we come back,
we've got food news and I've got a preview of Vegas stuff that I'm doing next week. Yeah.
And I want to talk about Ace and Vine.
Oh, yes, I do too.
Mm-hmm. You were out dining the same night?
Yeah, I want to hear about your experience and I'll tell you about where we went.
Cool.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Let's go back in the kitchen with Jamie Brown Miller. We've been talking about theme restaurants and did we cover the gamut of that?
As much as we could possibly want to.
Got all we could out of that. But we've got food news and reviews and places. Yeah. And tell us about your dining adventure. You were so excited last week. You went out for the first time in a year.
Ever. Yes. It felt like in ever. It felt like our first time doing anything. But yeah, we were fully vaxxed. And so we were like, let's go celebrate. We took our first Uber that we've had since February of last year, which was fun. And then we started out at the Mule, the bar that's connected to Jack's White Mule Diner downtown. Mm-hmm. And we had, I had a paper plane and then a Kentucky Mule, and Kevin had a Mexican Mule. So that had tequila in it. Fantastic. And you know, what's great about the Mule is that they not only make these fantastic cocktails, but the atmosphere there is so fun. And they were playing metal while we were drinking our cocktails. And that was so much fun. It was a departure from the regular downtown Napa, like, oh, beep, boop, bop, let's play some like nice jazz or whatever. And, you know, overcharge you on your drinks. It was just fair prices, great drinks, fun music, done. But we were on a crawl. So then we went to Carpe Diem and they sell half bottles of wine. And so we got a half bottle of Del Dotto Cab. It was insanely delicious. But what was even better was their calamari. I don't know what sorcery is employed in this calamari, but if you could have a calamari that tastes almost like crispy butter, that's what this is. Mm. Like, it didn't even need a sauce. The texture was just spot on. And then just this mouthfeel of this smooth, like almost brown buttery kind of element. It was just insane. I highly recommend it. Mm. And Scott, the owner, was there. So that was neat to say hi to him. And then for the finale, we went to Angel. They have a beautiful patio, but we got to dine indoors in a cute little tucked away corner table. And we started off with the steak tartare, which is one of my favorites. And they do it so perfectly with just great ingredients. And it's very fresh and good. And then Kevin had the steak frites, which he lost his damn mind over. And I had the duck confit, which was just this huge duck leg with a beautiful sauce. And we were just so happy. just really, really happy. It was a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. But you texted while we were out. Mm-hmm. You guys were out and about at Ace and Vine, which I really want to go to. I'm not a huge gambler, but because it's a card room and all of that. But what I'm hearing is that their food is over the top.
Yeah, I think that's a good description. The problem, I think, for some people, when you say to me card room, mm-hmm. okay, backstory for those who've been around Napa a while, you might remember Hemp Hills.
Never went into it, but
you know what I'm
knew
talking
all
about.
About it.
It was essentially where, well, across the street from what's now the Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, which weren't there back then, mm-hmm. right? It was there on Trancas.
That was on California Boulevard.
Yeah, but right about
yeah.
Trancas.
Yeah, on the corner there.
The corner.
Yeah.
It was Hemp Hills Card Room. It was that license that was available and allowed this to open, Ace and Vine to open.
Because
okay. they're very limited. There's a card room in American Canyon, I think.
Yes, I've driven past it.
You drive by. Yep. Have you never gone there?
I don't go into card rooms.
Right? Because exactly. So when you hear somebody say, Ace and Vine, the card room, let's go there, you're thinking card room. It's kind of not that. You know, it's the same. I've been to dinner once at the Grayton Casino, mm-hmm. right? In their nice steakhouse, dining room.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going to go eat at the casino. That sounds, you know what I mean?
Right. You're not going to like pony up to like a poker table and then have them like bring you a tray
tuna,
of food.
Tuna sandwich. Yeah. It's you get the wrong perception. So people should, first of all, think about a restaurant, mm-hmm. which is Napa quality,
right.
that happens to have a card room.
Like off to the side.
To yeah. It's another room. It's a separate room. And you don't have to interact with the card room at all if that's not your jam.
Right.
It's not like it's anything going to hurt you, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's not my jam. Yeah. Like, I'm not a fan. Like, the way I gamble is I make $20 last at video blackjack at a bar for like 2 hours and get all those free drinks. That's all I do.
That's what a lot of people like to do.
But no, I hear the food is insane. What did you get?
Well, let me get to that.
Okay.
But coming in, you know, you've been to that location before when it was Compadres.
And River City
before that. Yeah. Right? That's another for old timers. River City was one of the best places in town.
Oh my God. Their filet mignon mm-hmm. with the blue cheese sauce. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah. I miss it still.
Many people lamented their closing years ago.
Yeah.
Then it became Compadres when they moved from Yountville and it was alive again and popular and, you know, mm-hmm. thousands of people went there all the time. And then we lamented when it closed. Well, now mm-hmm. when you walk in, you're going to have memories of both of those other places. You know, the footprint is essentially the same, but they've, you know, redesigned the interior. It looks great. It feels great. You still got that fabulous deck. Mm-hmm. I mean, fantastic. We didn't spend any time on the deck that particular
Oh, but think
adventure.
About that on a nice summer evening. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm feeling like this is my new hangout.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And Taylor and I were there to celebrate opening night, virtual opening night of our latest video theater thing at Lucky Penny. And we were asking the server right away, like, how late do you stay open and how late do you serve food? Because it's been a challenge when we have live theater.
Yeah.
Actors want to go out and have a drink afterward, right? And there's no place open.
Oh, that's right. You used to have to go to that hotel bar.
the hotel bar at the Marriott, which we still like, and they have great French fries. But they would often be ending food service before we got there.
Right.
Right? So this place stays open late, and they're serving food very late.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Right?
I love that.
Right? You're thinking what I'm thinking.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Mr. Uber, one more stop before we go home.
Well, I know, because you guys were like, don't stay out too late, kids. We were home at 10 p.m. because, you know, we had started early.
Because you're old.
No, we started drinking at like 4. Uh-huh. So we were done.
So I'm scrolling through. And by the way, the deck is what they call essentially the restaurant.
Oh,
I guess.
Like a card deck.
I guess.
Okay.
I say this because when I go on the website, it's kind of hard to find. It doesn't say dining or restaurant, right? So what you're looking for is the deck.
Okay.
And there's a breakfast menu here.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
Avocado toast.
Available. Of course, avocado toast.
There's a brunch menu, Sundays, 10 to 3. You got to check this out.
Okay. Does it include like bottomless mimosas?
Because
I need that in my life.
Probably
please
work something out.
No, I'm looking for a new boozy brunch spot. Like I know there's a Vow because a Vow is awesome, mm-hmm. but I hate Sky and Vine. Mm-hmm. Hate that place. Mm-hmm. But I need a new boozy brunch place, like somewhere where you know that you're not going to do any yard work that day and you just want to like have a nice, peaceful, easy feeling.
And a 2 o'clock nap.
Yeah.
Right? one of the things we had, I'm looking through the starter menu, we had the gyoza.
Oh, gyoza.
Okay. dumpling, pan-seared pork dumpling with chili and ginger. And it came to the table and gosh, it was sizzling in the plate. It was unbelievably tasty.
Oh, I want that.
So good.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
That was just one of the things we had. And I think we had three different items, a couple of starters and a shared an entree or something. I can never remember what exactly. Just like keep bringing this
sure,
delicious food.
Yeah.
But everything was spectacularly good. The service was wonderful.
What about the drinks?
We had wine because okay. we were already drinking wine. So we stayed with wine.
Yeah, if you're already drinking wine, if you go to cocktails, you're like, ugh.
You know, I can drink anything, but
you're like a goat mm-hmm. with alcohol.
Basically. They have a lot of seafood, a lot of nice spicy things.
Good, love spicy.
Good spiciness.
There's not enough spice in Napa.
Mm-hmm. Also, a variety, several different burgers. They have steaks on the menu. They have a wok thing where you choose your protein, choose your sauce.
Oh, like the fire and ice grill in Tahoe.
Yep.
Okay, that's fun. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, this place has everything.
That's what I'm telling you.
Okay, so that's where we're going to go next.
And again, we're not getting paid for this. It's not a commercial, just recommendation
right?
based on extensive dining experience in the Napa area.
Well, it'll probably be like a month before we go out again in downtown Napa because we're going to blow our stash next weekend.
Tell us about the Vegas plan.
Yeah, so we're celebrating our vaccinated status. Man, getting a vax makes life so much more fun. Do it today. Do it often. Do whatever. But anyway, so we're going to go and we got a great deal on the hotel because, you know, post-pandemic rates and everything. But the great thing about Vegas is that there is so much just wonderful and weird and gourmet, but also like down and dirty, just any kind of food that you could possibly want, any kind of venue that you could possibly want. And I mean, there's of course Paris Hotel with all of their French stuff. The hotel that we're staying at has 26 different restaurants and bars in it. And some of them are hidden. Like we're staying at the Cosmo. There's a pizza place called Secret Pizza and you have to like find it. Apparently it's down like this labyrinth of corridors that you have to like search for it. There's a hidden mezcal bar called Ghost Donkey. And we're just going to go to it because it's called Ghost Donkey. Why not? But you know, we're also going to go to Jaleo, which is Jose Andres tapas place, which is going to be awesome, right? So you've got all these celebrity chefs there. I don't really believe in too many celebrity chefs. I'm not going to go to Giada's place. Like, that's just no thanks. Like, I can get Italian food anyway. You know how I feel about that. Mm. Yeah, no thanks. But we're also going to go to Roy Choi's place, Best Friend, which is this just like down and dirty, like Korean bodega where everybody's just, you know, bellied up to a bar, slurping down noodles and eating some just really done well Korean, like kalbi, those short ribs that you suck on the bone. And apparently the cocktails there are, they say that they taste like your best friend made them because they're so high on alcohol. They have a really heavy pour, which is why you walk everywhere on this strip, right? So I've got all those, you know, reservations, but I'm leaving the rest of the days up to, we're just going to walk by somewhere. And if it smells awesome, let's do it. You know,
good way to go.
Yeah. I mean, I've only been to Vegas once and it was about 5 or 6 years ago. So I'm very, very excited. Mm. Yeah.
Do you go to shows? Do you get massages? What do you do?
I'm not a big spa person. Because don't touch me. But we do have tickets for two shows. We're going to see. Okay. So Kevin chose, this is so dorky, but it's his vacation too. Kevin, it's your vacation too. I love you. The Mentalist. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're going to go see The Mentalist at Planet Hollywood.
It's a very Vegas show to
yeah,
see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we're going to go see Absinthe, which is in this huge circus tent next to Caesar's Palace. And they say right on the website, do not buy tickets if you are easily offended or just offended by anything. Because it's supposed to be there's
which
acrobats.
Which is a great way to sell tickets, by the way.
Yeah, there's acrobats and fire breathers and a comedy show and all of that, all packed within 90 minutes. And apparently if you sit close to the stage, they mess with you. And I inadvertently accidentally bought ringside seats. I didn't do it on purpose. They're like, congratulations, you just got seats that are, you know, next to the stage. Oh boy, they're going to have fun with Kevin. So, you know, there's that. When we were there 5 or 6 years ago, we saw one show and it was the Cirque du Soleil. And we thought we were going to see just regular old Cirque du Soleil, but it turns out it was their Zoomanity iteration, which was inappropriate for people under 18. And there was a lot of naked people and other things that would go with what I'm trying to connotate here. I was like, okay, I'm cringing and I don't think I should be here. I don't think I'm old enough to be here. So I did a lot more research on the shows this time around. I mean, we bought it at one of those spur of the moment, you know, tickets tonight kind of things. So we just didn't know. But yeah, I don't know.
So I was just talking the other day about this new hotel that's just opened, a mega resort, really.
That's right.
Resorts World Las Vegas.
It's opening in July, I believe.
Yeah, so you got to scope this out while you're there.
Oh, yeah.
They have this unbelievably massive LED screen. The entire front of the hotel is like an LED screen.
Yeah, it's insane. Right? Absolutely insane.
You might have 80, I think it was 80 restaurants.
80 restaurants.
80 restaurants.
Wow. How do you keep track of that?
I don't have any idea. That's just imagine.
That's weird.
How many sets of silverware do you have to roll up for 80 restaurants?
It's like its own city.
They built this on the site of the former Stardust.
That's right.
Which, when it opened, was the largest hotel in the world. Mm-hmm. 1,500 rooms. This one has like 3,500 rooms.
Yeah.
It's insanely large. It's the newest one. So I want you to give me a report back on that.
Yeah, I don't even know like how far up and down the strip we're going to get. Apparently the strip is 4 miles long and I'm not afraid of walking. That's cool. One time when we were there a while back, we walked from Planet Hollywood to the Wynn. Wow. It is a good thing you can walk with an open beverage right on the strip, mm-hmm, because you just stop and get a roadie and then get mm-hmm back on the sidewalk.
Do you like to get those big plastic tubes that are like a foot and a half, 2 feet long?
That's like alcoholic hummingbird feeder. It's so sugary. Like, no, thank you. No.
Tells me you're an amateur when you're drinking that stuff.
Oh, I am. Yeah. I have a plan, by the way.
Of course you do.
Oh, yeah. I am shipping via Amazon because the hotel has like a little shipment area that you can ship things to. I'm shipping like coffee because they don't have a coffee maker in the room. What is that? Apparently all the hotels on the strip have agreed with each other to not have coffee makers in the rooms because they want people out of their rooms and down and like buying stuff, you know? So I'm shipping myself a $10 coffee pot from Amazon with coffee and filters and creamer and all of that. Plus Gatorades, waters. I'm not shipping alcohol because that's like a whole different ball of wax, but we've arranged transport from the hotel. And apparently on the website, and this is a thing with all of the private transport in Vegas, they have like contracts with all the big liquor stores in the area where they stop and let you out. You go buy a bunch of liquor to bring to your room and like the driver gets a kickback or whatever. I don't care. That's great because I need a big bottle of something to have in the room. Because why not? Because then you fill your Gatorade bottle, you drink down like a quarter to a third of it, right? And then you fill the rest of it with the vodka. And now you've got your roadie and you're hydrating at the same time. Triple duty. Mm. Done and done. See, I've got it all figured out.
Yeah.
I should be a travel agent.
So much planning and effort. See, I prefer to patronize the bars along the way.
You do you walk know how away, expensive so a drink there is?
Like a beer? Like $5?
No. Oh my God, a cocktail, like in those crappy little stupid saucer cups that I hate. One of those is $18.
Everywhere?
At most places, unless you're going to go to like Senior Frogs or something and get like, I don't know. Like
what about Planet Hollywood?
Shots? I don't know.
Tiki bar?
I don't know. I just
Chuck E. Cheese.
I don't want to have to like seek out like the cheapest drink on the strip. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to have to like go into the bowels of some like hotel that's behind another hotel to get a cheap drink. Like, I want to just keep moving and see what I'm there to see.
How many days are you there?
4 nights.
Shipping a coffee pot for 4 nights.
It's $10. Amazon, dude. It's fine. Do you know? Okay, so that is the price of 1.5 Starbucks down in the lobby. So having a coffee pot in my room means I get to sip on coffee while I'm getting myself put together, all of that kind of thing. Then we can just hit the streets and get going.
Got it.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a potential savings of something like $12 or $15.
No, think about, okay.
Put that money in the bank,
so if
that's going to grow.
No, stop. If we get 2 big old Starbuckses every morning, first of all, there's the delay. The $7 each, right? That's $14 a day on Starbucks. Or if we want it brought up to our room, that's like $40. Like, no, this is a very efficient, cost-effective way to have the coffee where I want it, when I want it.
Okay. You do you. It's the Jamie Brown Miller OCD trip to Vegas report. We'll hear more about it when you come back. So you're gone next week, right?
I'm gone next week.
Okay, and then we'll see you in 2 weeks from now.
Yes.
All right, have a good time.
Thank you.
All right. That's it for now in the kitchen.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.